Now, we had a real good time at lunch today, and remember what I told you. You walk into a place, you bless it for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you walk out, okay? And we blessed it, a bunch of books, bunch of tracks, all of that. When we finished witnessing to Sarah behind the counter, I asked her a question. I ask this to waiters and waitresses sometimes, too. I said, by the way, before I go or whatever, has anyone ever witnessed to you before and talked to you and told you about Jesus Christ? And waitresses, most of the time, what's their answer when I ask them that? No. Okay? The lady Sarah behind the counter was no. And it was interesting because we already had other people from our event that were in the same restaurant, but her answer was no. You might have gone to a different person, though. But the answer was no. She said, one time, though, someone did hand me a $1 million bill, okay, and on the back of it was a gospel presentation. How did she know that word? She was a Catholic young lady. And then she said a gospel presentation. I thought it was very interesting. I would have never known that word as a Catholic at her age. But she said, I've read that before that was on the back. So you see how people can begin to follow up behind that and do that, okay? So one, tracks work. But again, just having a mindset to reach out there and do that, okay? This talk is going to be about the largest religious denomination in America. And who knows what that is? It's Roman Catholicism. Okay, we're going to talk about how to witness to Roman Catholics. Okay, Father, thank you so much for just saving me, my soul at 25 years old, Father God, and you brought me from untruth to truth. But Father God, as we go in the coming days, we've talked about in the other talks about deception. There's this unbelievable deception in the coming days. And Father, our job is to make sure we run away from deception, but we run right to truth. Father, give us truth, give us ideas that we can go back out into our world here in America and actually anywhere we go in the world, Father God, to plant good solid seeds. But we must know the truth, and then the truth can set people free. So we thank you for it, and we ask in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, okay? I get the question, man, how do you witness to a Roman Catholic? How many people have Roman Catholic friends that are, or co-workers or something, okay? Roman Catholicism is the largest denomination in the United States. 60 to 70 million Americans claim Roman Catholicism as their belief system. Who knows what the second largest denomination in America is? Yes, it's Southern Baptists, okay? And Southern Baptists claim 15 to 20 million. Okay, so literally you're talking three times the size Roman Catholic is of Southern Baptists. And America is the third largest country behind Brazil and Mexico with Roman Catholics. So Brazil and Mexico hold up number one, but America is number three, okay? Listen to this for a second. 20 to 25% of all of America is what? Roman Catholic. That's fascinating to think about, folks. A fourth to a fifth of America, 20 to 25% of our country, claims Roman Catholicism, okay? But what was interesting, when I was looking at these stats on the internet this week and stuff, what was very interesting, many of the different sites I looked at, they put Roman Catholicism with what? Protestant Christianity to come up with a Christian number for America, which I thought was pretty fascinating, okay? There's 19,000 parishes in America. In 1994, there was a document called the Evangelical and Christians Together document. Anyone remember this big document that came out? All these big, huge Protestant names signed this document, putting evangelicals and Catholics together under one roof, okay? Careful. In the end of days, there's going to be a blending of religions coming together where we're going to get this universalism and this one world religion. Okay, and out of this one world religion is going to pop up some people that you definitely do not want to follow, okay? So you want to be very careful this in the coming days and do that. And a thing to remember in when you're talking with Roman Catholics is do the Roman Catholics have the same Bible that we do? Absolutely not. They add an extra section called the what? The Apocrypha. So if you have extra books in a Bible, can you have the same biblical worldview? No, you can't, because what I've been trying to teach you in the last talk is this is our textbook, correct? We filter everything we hear back through this. So when people say there's many different ways to get to heaven, that's why we go to those verses, John 14:6 and 1 Timothy 2:5 and Acts 4:12. See, this is our textbook to know that. So I got to filter, but if you change the textbook, then other things can filter back through. Do you understand what I just said? So that's why we got to know what we believe as we're reaching out there and chatting with people, okay? So what we're going to do is take some of the looks at some of the teachings of Roman Catholicism and compare it to the Bible, and let's just see how it holds up, and then we'll know a much better ways we witness to them and stuff like that, okay? But remember that I always tell people that no one wants to be deceived. Amen. Anyone ever been deceived before? and then you found out the truth. Was anyone a little ticked off when you found out the truth? Oh, that's the worst, man. Just tell me the truth. I can deal with it, good or bad. We're human. We can finally deal with it. But if you've been deceived and you found out later you were deceived, man, it's the worst of all feelings, correct? In the Bible, the word deceived shows up 73 different times or a form of that word in the Bible. Deception is a big deal. But again, we know who the great deceiver is. Who's the great deceiver? It's Satan himself. So that's why we always got to be careful. What did I tell you? My prayers all the time? Father, do not let me be deceived. So, Father, I will not what? Deceive other people. I don't want to deceive people, give them a false hope when there is really no hope for them. Now, when you start looking at other religions, what you always do is go to their text. So if you want to find out how to witness to Muslims, look at the Quran. You look at what they believe. A Mormon, you look at the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price. You go back to their texts. When you're talking to a Roman Catholic, they actually have two texts that back up their faith. What are the texts? Help me, what are the texts? One is the Bible. What's the second one? What's that? That's right, the Catechism. It's called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is the official teachings of the Catholic Church. Okay? It was re-put out in 1994 by John Paul II. This book is actually signed off on by John Paul II. A lot of the writings came from a Joseph Ratzinger, who now is who? He's the current pope today, okay? This is stamped with the official Catholic imprimatur. You have to have a book that's in okay. I had a Catholic guy ask me if my book was stamped. He wasn't going to read it unless it was stamped with the official Catholic imprimatur on it, saying it was official in the Catholic Church. That ain't never going on my book, okay? It's not going on my book, okay? But he wanted to know that. So this is the official teachings of the church. So you can go to this book to find out what they believe and do that. So that's what I'm going to be going through is this book. Now, what I'm going to be saying is I do this. I'm going to give you paragraph numbers. They have everything broken up in this book in paragraphs, okay? So I'm going to give you a number. So if you're taking notes, just write the paragraph number down. I'm going to tell you exactly what it says word for word. Then we're going to compare it to Scripture just to see if there's issues or are we okay? Is it really evangelical and Catholics together? Are we fine? Or there's some difference we got to be careful of in the coming days. So remember, it all comes out of this book, A Catechism of the Catholic Church, the official teachings of the church. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, any place you can pick it up nice and cheap and go through that, okay? Paragraph 97. So if you're writing this down, paragraph 97. Paragraph 97 of the Catholic Catechism says, direct quote, quote, sacred tradition and sacred scripture make up a single sacred deposit of the Word of God. Sacred tradition and sacred scripture make up a single deposit of the sacred Word of God. True or false? Grab your Bibles. Go to Colossians chapter 2, a verse you have to know in the coming days, okay? Can we have some lights, please? Colossians chapter 2. Huge verse. You can use in so many different areas if you know this one verse. Go to Colossians 2 and go to verse 8. And if you got a highlighter, an underliner, highlight and underline this one. You'll use it many, many times sharing your faith in Jesus Christ. With numerous different types of people, okay? Beware. That's a great word, right, to start a verse. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the what? Traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after who? Christ. So what it's saying is be very careful of traditions of men that get added onto the Bible, and we follow traditions and not the Word of God. So we'll be very careful traditions in the world today, okay? And if you're adding sacred tradition to sacred scripture to get the single sacred deposit of the Word of God, do you see a problem here? Big problem here, okay? Paragraph 181, all right? Paragraph 181, direct quote, quote, the church is the mother of all believers, capital C for church. No one can have God as father who does not have the church as mother. No one can have God as father who does not have the church, Catholic Church, as mother. Small problem? Big problem. Go to John chapter 6. Go to John 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John 6. Go to verse 44. John 6, 44. And it's 44 through 46, okay? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Note not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Okay? No man come to me except the Father draw him. At this point, when this is being written, is there a Catholic Church? Absolutely not. So how can it be that the Church is the mother of all believers? No one can have God as Father who does not have the Church as Mother. Okay? Again, a false teaching. When you just compare it back to Scripture, that's why, again, we have to know the Scripture. Paragraph 868. Okay? Paragraph 868. Direct quote. Quote, "The Church is Catholic. She proclaims the fullness of faith. The totality, the fullness of faith. She bears in herself and administers the totality of the means of salvation." The Church itself administers the totality of the means of salvation. True or false? The implication you're going to see as we continue to walk through this is that you can only get salvation from one place according to the Catholic Church. And where is that? The Catholic Church. Okay. Paragraph 1493. Costa Rica. Do you have a lot of Catholics in Costa Rica? Yes, tons of it down there. Okay. The whole Latin America, it's in their thing. But it's really interesting. The Protestant, the evangelical movement down there is going very, very strong. Because, see, if you've been deceived and you hear the truth, you like hearing the truth. Okay. But then if you've heard the truth and you've been deceived, you go back to the people where you got deceived. Is that correct? That's where you go back to. Anyone ever hung out in places before where you were a lost person, got born again, and then went back to those same places to witness where you used to hang out? Anyone done that before? It's fascinating. I was in the bar section of Atlanta one night witnessing, and I stopped. I said, wait a minute. This is where you used to hang out as a lost person, man. Think about this for a second. I look at these people, and I just stood there and watched them for a while. I said, and you actually, Mark, thought this was fun. How deceived was I was. But see, when God finally lifted the veil and I saw the truth, you see, now I want to run back to those people and make sure they have the truth, okay? Paragraph 1493. Paragraph 1493. One who desires to obtain reconciliation with God and with the Church must confess to a priest all the unconfessed grave sins he remembers. You must go to a priest. Paragraph 1461. Ready for this? Paragraph 1461. Straight out of the teachings of the Catholic Church. Indeed, bishops and priests, by the virtue of the sacrament of holy orders, have the power to forgive all sins. Okay? Indeed, bishops and priests, by the virtue of the sacrament of holy orders, have the power to forgive all sins. True or false? Go to Matthew chapter 9. Go to Matthew 9. Again, we got to know this word. We got to know this word well. Do you have enough light out there, folks? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Matthew 9. Go to Matthew chapter 9, and let's go to verse 6. Matthew 9, go to verse 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to what? Forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Who has the power to forgive sins?
Jesus
Christ does. Go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Go to verse 7. Mark 2. Verse 7. Says, what doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but who? God alone. God forgives sins. There is no priest that can forgive your sins. You can forgive someone else of something they've done to you. Is that correct? Okay. But Psalm 51 says all sin is against who? God. All sin. When David committed the sin against Bathsheba, the reason it wasn't just against Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite is because they were made in the image of God. And if you do something to someone made in the image of God, your sin isn't just against the person, your sin is against who? The one whose image it's in. So that's why there's a horizontal look at sin, but a vertical look at sin as well. And that's where the sin goes against, okay? That's why a priest can't forgive you of your sins. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Paragraph 1129. So if you just take a note, just write the numbers down, okay? Paragraph 1129, quote, "The church affirms that for believers, the sacraments of the new covenant are necessary for salvation." The sacraments, ready for this, are necessary for salvation, are in italics, and they put them in italics. The sacraments are necessary for salvation. If that's true, what did you just add to the cross? You just added works to it. That's exactly what you just added works to it. Baptism, confirmation, marriage, confession, holy orders, holy communion, last rites are the sacraments of the church. My mother, a couple years ago, bad deal, went to the hospital, everything. And my dad called me up, "Mark, you need to come down here, da-da-da." Well, I didn't go down there. I stayed at the house just in case phone calls came in. I just wanted to be there for people. And because my prayers work just as good from my house as they do at the hospital. Is that correct? Amen. Yes, they do. Okay. And all of a sudden, I got another call a couple hours later, and my dad said, "No, Mark, you really need to get down here." Okay. It was getting pretty tight on my mom. And so I came in there, and my dad was just flustered. They already had the priest come in and do last rites. Okay. I came out of a Catholic family. And so I went up to mom, began to talk with my mom. And I began to chat with her and stuff. And my mom has made a profession of faith. So I just began to talk about Jesus Christ. I began to talk to mom about what salvation is. And making sure my mom is trusting Jesus Christ and not a Catholic church, not a Baptist church, not a Methodist church, not her son, but trusting Jesus Christ, correct? I can't help my mom when she dies. I can help her before she dies. All right, and so I had to make sure what she believed, what she was hanging on to. We had a solid 10-15 minute talk about Jesus Christ. Now the thing with her though is she is not going to go to a different church because my father goes to that church. Okay, and they've been going to the same church for years, and she's not going to do that. Okay, there's an issue there. It's not going to happen. That's okay. So we talk about Jesus Christ. Make sure she's born again and saved. She reads the Bible every day. She's in the Word. We talk about it all the time. Began to pray for her. Okay, just began to pray for her. Just, you know, prayed about 10 minutes. "Father, if you want her healed, you heal her, da-da-da-da-da." Then we just talked and prayed and prayed. We finished praying after about 10 minutes. All of a sudden, we look up. The little machine start making the right thing on it. It didn't flatline, which is nice. And it makes all the right noise. Color returns to her face. All the people come in and stuff. Ooh, my mom was fine. Next day, she's in the room. Doctor walks in. "Oh, Mrs. Kale, we thought we were going to lose you." "Oh, no, 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 no. Daniel 5 says God holds your breath in the palm of his hand. You don't take a last breath until God says you take a last breath."
Right.
No doctor's words on that, nothing on that. God says when you take a last breath. Okay? And then the doctor came in and said, "Oh, Mrs. K, we thought we were going to lose you." My little brother walked over and said, "Ma'am, thank you so much for saving my mom." And I looked over at the doctor. I said, "Hey, Doc," I said, "thanks for all you did with my mom. But isn't it beautiful to watch God that saved my mother right there and didn't let her die yet? But she's going to die one day. Right? We're all walking out of here, okay? But because of Jesus Christ, she's going to be okay when that last day happens. Right? See, I've got to give you hope beyond the grave and not before that, okay? So careful. Paragraph 1257. Paragraph 1257. Baptism is necessary for salvation. You listening to me, folks? For those to whom the gospel has been proclaimed and who have had the possibility of asking for this sacrament. Paragraph 1263. Paragraph 1263. By baptism, all sins are forgiven. All sins are in italics in the Catholic Catechism. By baptism, all sins are forgiven. Original sins and personal sins, as well as all punishment for sin. That's a direct quote out of the teachings, okay? By the way, when do Catholics baptize people? As babies. I was baptized as an infant. So are you telling me the decision my parents made for me as a little child washes away all my original sin, all my other sin in my life, and all the consequences for sin after I die? Anyone see a small problem here? It's beyond small. It's huge at this point. Okay, it's huge because that means you never make a decision. I people all the time. I had a guy tell me I was witnessing to one of the. I used to teach a religion all boys Catholic school, and I went over to one of my boys got in a car accident, so I went over to visit him and his dad and stuff, and we were talking, and the dad looked at me and said, "Mark," he said, "I was born Catholic, I'll die Catholic." I said, "No, sir." I said, "You're born alive." I said, "You'll die dead." Okay, everything else in between is choices. Correct. It's choices. You have to make choices what you want to believe in, okay? It's your life. You got to decide if you're going to search this out or not search this out. And I challenge people on the streets with that all the time, okay? You made all these plans to come to this concert or this sporting event or this Indy 500, okay? You've done all this research to go on your vacation. Why haven't you spent at least 1 week of your life searching out what happens when you die? Okay, I challenge them back with that because it's their job to search it out if they so desire to do that, okay? By the way, was the thief on the cross ever baptized? never baptized. But that man knows more about paradise than any of us in this room. Because Jesus Christ said, and today you shall be with me. What? In paradise, man. I'd like to talk to him right now, okay? I'd like to talk, but you don't talk to the dead, so I wouldn't like to talk with him now. Let me change that, okay? But he knows about paradise, okay? Because he's there because of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Going to hear from maybe the greatest evangelist of all time. One of the greatest shares. Who might that be? Yeah, I think Paul's got to be up there somewhere in the top two. go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The great apostle Paul. Bold, bold man of God. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to what?
Baptize.
But to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He didn't call me to baptize. He's to preach the word. Okay? Now, should we get baptized? Yes or no? Of course. It's biblical. It's biblical. I'm telling you, I got baptized a few years back. It was a few years after I got saved because, again, I didn't understand it at the time. And man, I tell you something. I gave my testimony for a church. Go under that water, come up. Anyone remember coming up out of that water when you're baptized? Is that an amazing experience or what, man? It is crazy, okay? But you're understanding the symbolic nature of the washing away of all your sins, that public profession before people, okay? That baptism does not save you, though. The Lord Jesus Christ saves your soul. The blood of Christ cleanses you of all your sins, okay? Be careful. What would Satan do? If you're Satan, what would you take? Truth. Okay, take a lie, but move it as close to the truth as you possibly can, or wrap it all up together, okay? Get as close, so then you can't tell the difference. You see? That's what he would do. I just lost a job speaking at something, and the guy who got rid of me over the issue of Catholicism said to me on the telephone, Mark, he said, Catholics are in the same ballpark as we are. They're in the same ballpark as we are. I raised my voice up, not in a real friendly tone, and I said, David, I said, in the same ballpark as we are. I said, David, this is what I said. I said, David, there was a thief on the cross in the same ballpark as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died and went to hell. I said, what are you doing? Tell me they're in the same ballpark as we are. That was deception of the highest regard. I don't care if you're in the ballpark. What are you doing with Jesus Christ? And he said, your only hope, the only thing you're hanging on to. Does that make sense? Careful of deception in the coming days, okay? Paragraph 1374. In the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. Now, you've seen, how many people have actually been inside of a Catholic church before and seen that, okay? Okay. And you go on the Mass in the Eucharist. Okay, watch what it says. In the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ is truly, really, and substantially contained. They italicize in there the whole Christ is truly, really, and substantially contained. They believe that all of Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist. It's something they call transubstantiation. That you actually get all of it's the actual body and the actual what? Blood of Jesus Christ in the wafer and in the juice that's drank in there, the wine that's drinking, it's actually his, okay? Go to Luke. Always go back to your word. Go to Luke chapter 22. And this is how you come back against this. I had a big thing happen at a camp over this issue when I made a comment about this. And so we just went right to the word. Luke 22, go to verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in what? Remembrance of me. He's not saying this is me. You do this in remembrance of me. Got the difference there? And here's it. And then this is actually the verse in the and there's another set that Catholics use to show that it's actually Jesus in there. Only one problem. Who is holding the bread in this scene and who is holding the wine? Jesus Christ is. So how could he be in it when he's holding it, showing you it's a representation of what he has done, okay? Careful. I mean, this is where the deception comes in. What's Satan going to do? Take the word of God, twist it, deceive you, and pull you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Careful. Paragraph 1393. Ready for this? For this reason, the Eucharist cannot unite us to Christ without at the same time cleansing us from past sins and preserving us from future sins. The Eucharist cleanses you of past sins and preserves you from future sins. Got a small problem here? Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, cleansing. 1 John chapter 1. Go to 1 John 1, go to verse 7. 1 John 1 is just loaded. The whole book's loaded. That's why it's one of the books I have newly born-again people read 1 John. I have them do that. I had lunch with a guy the other day. I witnessed to him 4 years ago at a big music festival. I was out at a football game on New Year's Eve witnessing, and I saw this dad and a son, about 25-year-old young man. And I was going to walk up to him, but you ever just get wimpy and you don't walk up to people? Anyone ever done this? Your speaker does it way too often. That's what amazed me, that God allows me to speak at things. I just wimped. I just stood there. He walks up to me. Excuse me, are you Mark Cahill? And I said, maybe. And I said, why? And he said, oh, you witnessed to a group of me and a group of my friends 4 years ago at a music festival here in Atlanta called Music Midtown. The guy remembered the witnessing conversation, remembered my name, had been on the internet looking me up there and stuff like that, saw me out at another event and walks up to me. So that's one reason you do want to go to same local events. If you're here, go to Broad Ripple all the time. Because people go, hey, man, I talked to you a couple months ago and stuff like that. They walk back up to you and continue. Because can a lot change in 2 months? Yeah. Can a lot change in 24 hours? How about September 10th and September 11th? A lot can change in 24 hours, okay? So people are at a different point in their life when that happens, okay? And he walked up, and so we actually went to lunch a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about this, and he really serious. He's searching this. I said, what's held you back? What's held you back from making this? He said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to get into this and be a hypocrite. I see way too many hypocrites that follow Jesus Christ. That's interesting that he's wrestling with this issue, but I want him to count the cost. He knows the cost. And I said, okay, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home. I want you to read the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans. It's the two I always throw at lost people. Gospel of John, then the Book of Romans is a little bit deeper on those issues of sin and stuff like that. I want you to read those. I want you to call me back up with questions. I said, okay. So I let him walk away, just like the rich young ruler walked away, but I let you walk away with an assignment. What I want you to do, okay, then if you're willing to dig in the word and stuff, then we're heading the right direction here, okay? So I want something to happen here. But save people, especially new believers, I bring them right to 1 John. Watch what it says in 1 John 1, verse 7, 8 and 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where's your cleansing come from? The blood of Jesus Christ. Does it come from a Eucharist? Absolutely not. In a Catholic church, they have something called a monstrance. And what it is the big gold thing with a bunch of spiky things on it. And they put the Eucharist in there. And they have something called perpetual adoration, where you're actually praying before the Eucharist. And they try to do this over a 24-hour period where it's covered every hour where they're praying to the Eucharist. That sounds kind of weird, but if they believe Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist, now you can understand how they could pray to the Eucharist over a 24-hour period. You see this? They do this in churches. They have people sign up and pray over the 24-hour period for this. But again, he's not in the Eucharist. He's not there. But see, that's how deception can be taken and go even farther. And I'm going to show you that with another issue in Catholicism because of that. Paragraph 841. Make sure you write that number down. You're going to need this one in the future, okay? Paragraph 841. This is a fascinating statement out of the Catholic Catechism. And this is what it says, paragraph 841. The Church's relationship with Muslims. Okay? Quote, the Church's relationship with Muslims. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator, in the first place amongst whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us, they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. Did you hear what that just said? This is the official teachings of the Catholic Church. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator, okay? In the first place, amongst whom are the Muslims. Is that a true statement? Careful, folks. This is unbelievable. But now you're beginning to understand, okay, why there's been such an outreach from the Catholic Church to who? Muslims. See? It makes more sense once you know the official teachings of the church. Then you can see where this whole thing is going to go. The last two popes, John Paul II and Benedict, have been very, very outreach-oriented towards the Muslims. Okay, even going to mosques and things like that in praying. Okay, paragraph 1030. All right? Unbelievable what this says. Okay? Paragraph 1030 and 1031. Just put a comma, put 31. They go right together. Quote, all who die in God's grace and friendship but still imperfectly purified are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. So you need extra purification to be done to get rid of your sins. And of course, in Catholicism, what's that called? Purgatory, and that's 1031. Watch what 1031 says. The church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. The church formulated her doctrine of faith on purgatory, especially at the councils of Florence and Trent. Did you hear what that just said? The church formulated her doctrine. Did you hear this now? Okay? Especially at the councils of Florence and Trent. That means that they formulated it. It's now called a what? What's the first thing we talked about? Scripture plus tradition. So now it's a tradition that you've added on to, okay, for the purification of your sin. Only one problem. John 19, 30, Jesus on the cross says, it is what? Finished. It's finished. It's done, okay? And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, okay? Go to 1 John 4, since we're right there. Go to 1 John 4 in verse 10. Here's another great one to know, okay? 1 John 4:10. And watch what it says, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but he what? Loved us. Just think about that. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It means the appeasement, the satisfaction, the replacement for our sins. That's he took the place of this man's punishment. I should die and go to hell for my sins. But in his graciousness, his love, his goodness, he said, no, I'm willing to take the place if you're willing to accept it. Okay? That's why you can't mix up this because it's too important, this part about salvation right here. Okay? Now, big issue. When you talk Catholicism in the end of days, there's another name that keeps rising up to the top. What's the name we keep hearing about? Yeah, it's Mary, okay? The Marian doctrine is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in the coming days. You have to understand it. The reason is because Muslims also believe in Mary, and they believe she was a virgin. Okay, you have to understand this. Then the other reason it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in the coming days is because of the, what are they, in the Catholic Church, they keep seeing what? The apparitions of Mary, and you're starting to see a lot more. And actually, one of the greatest of all apparitions, they're saying, happened in Cairo, Egypt, and it was actually above a Muslim mosque. It was there for a few weeks, okay, where people coming over, and it was actually drawing a lot of Muslims. So there's actually some thought that some people think that the Marian apparitions are going to be used of the enemy to bring the world religions together. It's a possibility. I wouldn't discount it at all, but I'd be very careful. But what's always interesting is when people describe the apparitions, they always describe it as an angel of what? Light. An angel of light. They always say that. My Bible gives a name for the angel of light. What's that? It's called Lucifer. It's called Satan. Be very careful with deception. I'm going to show you how you can tell that's deception or not, okay? Paragraph 494. Just look at this, okay? Paragraph 494, Mary. Espousing, quote, espousing the divine will for salvation wholeheartedly without a single sin to restrain her. She gave herself entirely to the person and to the work of her son. The Catholic Church teaches how many sins did Mary commit? Zero. Paragraph 411, quote, Mary benefited first of all and uniquely from Christ's victory over sin. She was preserved from all stain of original sin and by a special grace of God committed no sin of any kind during her whole earthly life. Zero sins her entire life. True statement? Luke chapter 1. Go to Luke 1. Here's a very strong text you need to know and use I had a lady in the airport tell me last year, she said, she just literally said, "I follow Mary," is what she said. "I follow Mary," a Catholic woman, okay? And there's a good comeback. Go to Luke 1. Again, we got to know the word. Go to Luke chapter 1, and let's go to verse 46. 46 and 47. Taking notes, write this down, okay? Luke 1, 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my," what? Savior. Why would anybody ever use the word Savior if you didn't need a Savior? Mary knew she needed a Savior. She knew, she just somehow she began to know this is what the son of hers was going to do, was be the sacrifice for the sins of the world on the cross. She knew it as life progressed, okay? And that's the reason, okay, that she even said, "And God, my Savior." She would have never used those words if she didn't need one. Careful, again, of deception, the end of days. Paragraph 966. 966, quote, "When the course of her earthly life was finished, was taken up body and soul into heavenly glory and exalted by the Lord as queen over all things." She was taken up into heaven, a soul and body into heavenly glory and exalted by the Lord as queen above all things. What they're saying is that she did not what? Die. It's what's called the Assumption of Mary. Do you know why this began to be a problem in the church? Because Catholics figured it out. They actually went to the priests, which went to the bishops, which went to the Pope over in Rome and stuff like that. They said, "Wait a minute. The Bible says if you sin, you will what? Die. If she never sinned," what's the next question? How did she die? How did she die if she never sinned? Because if she died, that means she would have sinned, then they can't go back to the other. Do you see how, you ever seen this with kids or even ourselves? How one lie, then I got to tell another lie to cover up that one, then it's another. Then all of a sudden you've walked so far away from the truth, you really don't know what it is anymore. Have you noticed this? That's why just stick to the, you got to stick to the truth. Always, my niece is in trouble with her dad, and she got caught lying to her dad. Okay, and I was talking to her on the phone. Her birthday was Thursday, and I was talking to her about this on the phone. She's turning 16. She just turned 16. And I was telling her, see, this is why you can't do this, because then you have to take another lie to cover this one and a lie to cover this one. It's like, no, Morgan, tell your daddy the what? Truth. He's your daddy. He cares about you. Okay, tell him the truth. I don't care if it gets you in trouble. Tell him the truth. Okay, then you don't have to get in another extra trouble beyond that, okay, because there's a problem. So they're saying she did not die, and the Catholics actually figured it out themselves because they realized that if you sin, you have to what? Die. Okay, interesting how that happened. Yesterday I flew in, I turned on the radio station coming over here to my hotel, and I was trying to find a Christian station. Well, I got one, and I was listening, and I realized it wasn't a Christian station, it was a Catholic station, okay? And things began, the EWTN TV network now also has a radio network out there. So I was listening to this guy and stuff, and this is what, they were talking about evolution. And I actually started taking notes as I was driving. Don't do that, it's dangerous to do, but I do it every now and then. And I started writing in the seat next to me and stuff, and this is what I wrote, and this is what the man said, quote, "If evolution is true," are you ready for this? "Maybe, if evolution is true, maybe not an Adam or Eve happened, that we just evolved, okay? So there may not be an Adam or Eve." Watch what he said. "If no Adam, then no new Adam, Jesus." Okay? "If no Eve, then no new Eve," what?
Mary.
That's what he said on the radio show. No new Eve. Does it say anything like that in the New Testament? This is crazy stuff, okay? Paragraph 2677. 2677. This is amazing. 2677. "By asking Mary to pray for us, we acknowledge ourselves to be poor sinners, and we address ourselves to the Mother of Mercy, the All-Holy One." In capital letters, the All-Holy One. Folks, that's blasphemous.
Amen.
That is blasphemous of the highest regard. There is nobody that even needs remotely close to the Lord Jesus Christ and his holiness. Nobody. That's how, and you know that from just studying Scripture, because in the book of Revelations, when people saw an angel, what position did they take? Face down in front of an angel. No, get up. I'm a created being like you are. I'm a created being like you are. Get up. Okay? Oh, there's only one we bow down and worship to, and that's the Lord himself and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's it, folks. Okay, deception. Paragraph 966, "By your prayers, we'll deliver our souls from death." Paragraph 9-6 is, by your prayers, Mary prayers, will deliver our souls from death. That's why you've seen such an unbelievable Marian movement in the Catholic Church. Okay? Paragraph 969. Ready for this one? Paragraph 969. This is just out of their own teachings. Quote, taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside the saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Church under the titles of Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, and Mediatrix. Under the Church, the Blessed Virgin invoked in the Church under the titles of Advocate, capital A, Advocate, capital H, Helper, capital B, Benefactrix, okay, and capital M, Mediatrix. That she holds those offices within the Church. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is what's going to show you how deceptive this has become. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is a verse also you can use for a few different things. Jesus being the only way to heaven, things like that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, what verse? 5. Go to 1 Timothy 2, go to 5. Really good verse to know and use. For there is one God and one what?
Mediator
between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Mediator is used with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, not Mary. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Go to 1 John 2 and go to verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The advocate is Jesus Christ. Watch what's happening. And you're seeing this also in the Marian apparitions. If you ever study what she's saying in the apparitions, the exact same terminology that is being used in the Bible for Jesus Christ is now being used for who? Mary. Okay? It's a switch that's taking place. It's a complete switch to move away from Jesus Christ and moving to Mary. There's something in Catholicism called the co-redemptrix movement, where Mary is a co-redeemer of your sins. It's called the co-redemptrix movement. And how it began was from the first lie that she had no sin. Because if she had no sin, couldn't she be a propitiation for our sins if she was sinless? It makes logical sense, but if she sinned, it breaks down the whole argument right from the start. You have to be very careful where this whole thing is going, okay? Mary is mentioned, ready for this, one single time outside the Gospels. Once. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. That's the only place she's ever mentioned outside the Gospels. Acts 1, verse 14. And literally, she disappears off the scene. Acts 1, verse 14. Jesus, the name, is mentioned 983 times in the New Testament. 983. A third of those, one third of all the mentions for Jesus Christ, you find after the Gospels, Acts and beyond. A third of those. Because the whole point of the Jesus Christ is the testimony of who? I'm sorry, the whole point of the New Testament is the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. It's not Mary, okay? Also write down Hebrews 9, chapter 10 through 15. Hebrews 9, 10 through 15, and also write down Hebrews 4, verse what? 15, okay? Hebrews 9, 10 through 15, Hebrews 4, verse 15. Jesus was tempted and always we were yet without what? Sin. See, this is totally different categories, not Mary, but that's how the deception is coming in and do that, okay? I'm going to teach you two last things and we're done for you, okay? Because the more I know about different religious faiths, okay, the better I can witness to them. Is that correct? Now, one of the things I want to remind you of, you need to spend the majority of your time reading what book? This one. So when I go hit the streets witnessing, okay, I ask questions. So if I meet a Roman Catholic, I begin to ask about their faith. That's how you make it a conversation and not a what? Presentation. That's exactly right, okay? Muslims, when that group's coming down to Atlanta, Georgia Tech has a very strong Muslim population. So when I go down there witnessing, I was actually down there speaking at a Christian event, and I was walking around before the event, getting up in some conversations, and this guy walked past, said, hey, how you doing? Good. I said, where are you from? And it was a Middle Eastern country. I said, oh, did you grow up Muslim? He said, yeah, I'm still into it pretty good. I said, okay, let me ask you a couple questions about Islam. Okay, so I just get him talking. So what's your belief on God? What do you think happens when you die? Okay, so we just start talking about paradise, hellfire, and then I see my door, and I walk through my door, show the law, and show the real Isa, because they believe in Jesus, correct? But it's a different Jesus they believe in, okay? So I began to talk, so as I was talking with this Muslim guy, because you have to remember, even if you talk to a Christian in America, that can mean different things to different people, right? Sure, not every Muslim believes the same way, or because some haven't been digging into it and reading the Quran. It's like a lot of Christians don't read their Bibles. So I began to ask this guy, okay, so what does it take to go to paradise and not hellfire? He said, well, all your works are weighed out on a scale in front of Allah, which is what you hear from Muslims. He said, except there's 5 unforgivable sins. I said, seriously? I never heard that before. I said, what are those? He said, blasphemy, not believing in one God. He said, murder. He said, rape. And he stood there, He said, I can't think of the other two. And I said, excuse me? I said, if you believe there's 5 sins that you could commit and automatically go to hellfire instead of paradise... He said, yeah. I said, I would memorize those 5 sins, okay? And make sure you didn't commit none of those, right? Wouldn't you? If that was true, it didn't make logical sense when you played all that. So that's why you always ask questions of people and do that, okay? Now watch the big deception. I'll show you how this comes together and does it. Paragraph 2782. And the next few paragraphs are going to blow you away, okay? This is the official teachings of the Catholic Church. Called the Catholic Catechism of 1994, the official teachings, and this is what it says. Paragraph 2782. So then you, who have become sharers in Christ, are appropriately called Christs. Plural. So then you who have become sharers in Christ are appropriately called Christs yourself. Capital C. Christ. So once you become a believer, they're equating you with who? Christ. You are becoming Christ. Careful. Paragraph 795. Watch this now, folks. Paragraph 795, because you've heard this before. You've just heard it in a different context. And this is how I'm going to show you it's all going to come together. Quote, let us rejoice then and give thanks that we have become not only Christians, but Christ himself. Do you understand and grasp, brethren, God's grace towards us? Marvel and rejoice. We have become Christ. Capital C. Anyone sensing a huge problem here? This is a wow statement. You can become Christ. You can become what? What do you keep hearing from the New Agers? You can become God. Do you see how this is coming together? Paragraph 1589. This is about priests. Paragraph 1589. He is the paragraph 1589. He is the defender of truth who stands with angels, gives glory with archangels, causes sacrifices to rise to the altar on high, shares Christ's priesthood, refashions creation, restores it in God's image, recreates it for the world on high, and even greater is divinized and divinizes. That a priest is what? Divine. That's actually taught in the church. A priest is divine. A priest can attain what? Godhood is what it's saying. If you become divine, you can become God. Have we heard this before? You're going to hear it a lot more in the coming days. I'm going to explain to where you're hearing this stuff at, okay? Paragraph 460. This is one of the most amazing ones I read as I was studying this, preparing for this. Paragraph 460. Write that one down, 460. You don't want to miss this one. You ready? For the Son of God became man so that we might become God. This is a direct quote out of their teaching. For the Son of God became man so that we might become God, the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he made man might make men gods. Might make men gods. Anyone think of a religious faith system that teaches that? It's Mormons. I sat down next to Richard, the Mormon in the airport yesterday, and I was talking with Richard. He just got back from his 2-year mission trip, and I asked him, I said, Richard, there is something in Mormonism called, okay, as man is, God once was, as God is, man may be. So as man is, God was once man, and he attained godhood, okay? As God is, man may one day attain to be God. I said, Richard, do you believe you can become a god? His answer to me in the Atlanta airport was what?
Yes, it is.
He believes he can become a god over another planet. Okay? Isn't that the pride of man, that I can become just like God? Do you see this? What's the other movement that keeps talking about this all the time? It's the New Age movement that's doing that, okay? That you can become like God. Who is the one on TV now promoting all this stuff? Oprah. Have you seen the video clips out there? Keep your eyes open, okay? She is now being used of the devil, okay, to teach people about this New Age movement, this Eckhart Tolle and stuff like that, okay? And him promoting these books, because as soon as it get on her show, okay, his book popped over 4 million copies once he got on Oprah's show. And it's all this New Age gobbledygook junk, okay? I always hang out in bookstores and airports because people like to read. I write books, I start talking, try to witness and see if they'll take a book. I was in the bookstore a couple weeks ago in Atlanta, and this lady came in and she was looking for this book. She was looking on the top shelf. I said, "You need some help? Because I can get the book." And she couldn't get it. She was a little smaller. And I said, "What are you looking for?" She said, "Oh, I'm looking for that Eckhart Tolle book." So I didn't put my hand up there. I pulled it back. I said, "I got a much better, you like spiritual stuff?" She said, "I love spiritual." I said, "I got a much better book than that, okay?" So I pulled One Heartbeat Away out of my pocket, okay? I began to talk to her, began to witness to her and stuff like that. And I said, "Oh, this sounds interesting." I said, "It really is." She said, "Would you still get me that book, though?" I said, "Okay, I'll get it to you." But now she's got two books walking out, and there's going to be a competition in her. Which one's going to get that? Who gets the truth, okay? See, it's what I tell you earlier, it's a battle for information out here. We've got to get the right. What are you doing when you're hitting the streets today? You're giving them information, right? It's their choice what to do with the information. One guy said, "Are you trying to save my soul?" I said, "Nope, I'm just giving you the right information. It's between you and God what you decide to do with it." Push the ball right back in his court. Okay, you got to decide if you're going to search this out. You're going to decide if you read that track. You're going to decide if you read this book. It's your choice, okay? I will do anything I can to help you. I wish I could persuade you. That's not my job. That's his job to persuade their heart, right? I don't save the soul. God saves the soul. So it's a battle. We are going out there to give information to people. That's what we did at Panera Bread. We gave a bunch of people good information, okay? Now it's their choice what they do with that information. Do that. Go to Genesis 3, and this just tells you, we go all the way back to the beginning of the garden, to find out the biggest lie that has been told through the years, and it's the biggest lie that's going to be there for all the time until the end of the return of Jesus Christ. Go to Genesis 3, all right, and go to verse 5. It's the whole section there, it's just wonderful. But go to verse 5, and there's your answer right there. And it says, okay. Verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as what? Gods, knowing good and evil." The lie from the enemy is you can become just like God, okay? There is no possible way on planet Earth that this man can become God. I'm a sinful, wretched, miserable creature. The Bible says there is no good thing in the flesh. This man is the farthest thing from God. Okay, except through the Lord Jesus Christ to wash me clean of that sin, I can actually even think about being in the presence of God when we die. Only through the hope of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? See, you got to be careful that this mixing of all this stuff together, and it's all going to come back. I think the universal religion in the end is going to, you can become just like God. Okay, and it's coming through the teachings of Catholicism, and it's coming through the New Age movement, and I think you're going to see it rise up a lot at the end, okay? Then the last thing is, write down paragraph 846, and then write down 2084, and 2084 and beyond. And in the Catholic Catechism, that lists the Ten Commandments in the Catholic Catechism. By the way, do they have a different set of Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Yeah, completely different set. They leave out which number? Number two, the idols, okay, the graven images, and they take number 10 and split it into two. They have coveting for 9 and coveting for 10. They take it out and do that. And I was listening to a guy talk about this, and a former priest was talking about this, and he was talking about the taking out the graven images, and why did they do that? Quote, as one ex-priest said, there's lots of money in images and icons. They make a lot of money selling images and icons, which they couldn't do if they really followed number 2. So they took number 2 out, okay, and then from there is where we wound up today, okay? And as we close it here, last summer, I was having this issue with a camp over Catholicism. And so what happened is, during my airport trips, I got to meet 4 different Catholic bishops in different airports in America. So not a priest. A bishop is a priest, but they're over a whole city. So you have a bishop of Charleston, bishop of Atlanta. So these are high, high up people. When I was spent 26 years in Catholicism, I never met a bishop. Okay, I met four in airports last summer traveling. So as soon as I saw, and they wear a different type of a sash with a chain, when I see that, which direction did I walk? To them. You walk to people. Remember what we said earlier today, you walk to people, not away from people, okay? So I began to ask him questions, all right? I asked the Catholic bishop, what does it take to go to heaven? Quote, a sincere relationship with Jesus, living in holiness, baptism begins it, and salvation is a lifelong process. True or false? Sanctification's a lifelong process. Justification's a one-time shot by the blood of Jesus Christ. Quote, the fullness of truth is only found in the Catholic Church. So if you want truth, you must come to Catholicism to get it, is the teaching. Quote, you must be part of the church to be saved. We said it earlier in the catechism, and the man said it verbally to me, one of the bishops did. You must be part of the church to be saved. Pope Benedict, you see the declaration he came out with about a year ago? That if your church is not an apostolic church, it is not a true church. So if you don't have apostolic succession, can take it all the way back to who? Peter is what they say. If it doesn't come through that line, it's not a true church. The moment he said that about a year ago, and it all came out in all the papers across the world, that eliminates every single what? Protestant church is a true church. Did you hear this? Okay. I asked one of the bishops about that. He said, quote, not a true church unless it has apostolic succession. The bishop believed the same thing, that all Protestant churches were not true churches. Quote, salvation can only come through the Catholic Church. That is a teaching of the church. Think about this, folks. Just think about this for a second. The largest religion in America, and easily one of the largest in the world. You're talking about a billion Catholics in the world. One-fifth to one-sixth of the world follows these teachings. The sacraments bring justification for your sins, one guy said. Quote, Muslims will be saved as long as they are sincere. That's what a bishop told me. So why do you need to witness to them? And of course, they don't. Of course, though, we do. Is that right? Yes, we do, because they don't have the truth. Quote, Muslims, Jews, or Hindus, if what they believe is true, and they are true to their conscience, they will be saved. You can't say all non-Catholics will go to hell. That's what a bishop said to me. He said, you can't say all non-Catholics will go to hell. Isn't that an amazing statement? Okay. And then last thing for you, remember this. Remember three quick things at the end. Remember one, all of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation were what? Catholics. They were all Catholics. Catholic priests and theologians, John Wycliffe, John Huss, Swingley, John Calvin was studying for the priesthood, okay? Martin Luther was a professor at a Catholic college, and he really struggled with indulgences. These were people inside the church that looked at what? The scriptures, compared it to what? The teachings of the church, and said, no way, this is not what the book says. See, that's a choice you have to make, and that's when I lay it out before Catholics. You have to make a choice. You can choose the church, or you're going to choose Jesus Christ. I've had to tell my dad that. The Catholic Church can't help you on Judgment Day. The Baptist Church can't help you on Judgment Day. Jesus Christ is Judgment Day. He's the only help you have on Judgment Day, is the advocate, Jesus Christ, okay? Remember when talking to Catholics, use the Ten Commandments. Use them. Use the law. Because when you talk to Catholics, what is it? When you die, what do you think is on the other side? Catholics say heaven and hell. They may say purgatory. If they say that, all I do is, if you can skip purgatory and go right to heaven, would that be good news? What's everyone say? Sure. Why would you spend any extra time there if you don't have to, okay? What do you think it takes to go to heaven? At this moment, 95-98% of all Catholics, all Catholic nuns, all Catholic priests will tell you, what does it take to get to heaven? Say it. Good works. You hear it almost 100% of the time. A few times you won't, but almost every single. And as soon as you hear good works, where do you go to in a conversation? You go right to the law. You go right to the law, okay? And then they let it go from there. Again, I have an email on the book One Heartbeat Away. If you have Catholic friends, please put this in their hands. We've had Catholic nuns we know of got born again. I got a letter from one of those bishops. I gave him the book. He read the thing in email and wrote me a letter after reading the book. I have an email from a 55-year-old Catholic guy. I said, in my entire life, I had all these questions about God and the afterlife. He said, I read that book. It answered every single question that I had. Because one of the things with Catholics is, and I skipped the part here, is they don't read the scriptures. Okay, so they don't read the scriptures. Okay, they don't know the truth. I asked my father, Dad, please for your birthday, I want one thing. Your name is John. Your mama named you John after the Gospel of John. Dad, would you do me one favor? Would you please read the Gospel of John for your birthday? That's what I want as a gift. He looked at me and said, Mark, I'll let the priest interpret the Bible for me. But that's what they're taught. Actually, I skipped something here, but one of the paragraphs in there is that actually the bishops and the magisterium are the ones who interpret the Bible for the laity. The only problem is when you read the scriptures, it was the laity who wrote the Bible. Fishermen, farmers, tactical, regular folk wrote the book. I told my dad, if regular folk wrote it, I think regular people can read it. Is that right? That's right. But see, wouldn't you do that if you were Satan? Keep them away from the word, okay? The problem is, in that book, it doesn't look like the Bible, but it's got tons of scripture. And so actually, they get the scripture in them, okay? Even though many of them won't read the scriptures, okay? So remember also, do not let yourself be deceived in the coming days. There is going to be deception in the coming days. False signs, false lying signs and wonders. There's going to be great deception that could even deceive who? The elect. Okay, but you know what? What I want to see 200 years from now, 500, 1,000 years from now, is every single one of us in this room, 200 strong, 250 strong, that we finished the race well. Okay, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I always tell people, you either finish strong or you finish wrong, one of the two. You either finish strong or finish wrong, one of the two. Which will it be? We've seen a lot of people finish wrong, haven't we? Some big names in Christianity filtering off at the end, okay? We regular folk, if you speak in front of people, pastor folk, whatever, okay? We need more and more Christians finishing this race strong, right? Right. It's only going to happen as long as you don't get deceived. If you don't get deceived, you know the truth, you boldly stand for the truth until you take your very last breath. Is that right? That's right. Let's be a group that finishes strong in the coming days. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the word. Father, thank you. Pull me out.